All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. All right.
Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. A little mini show. We're only here till midnight, so we're going to do the movie reviews, and we got Straight Out of Context, and we got Drunks in the News. We got everything to cram in here. But let's get this thing kicked off right with my hero, Roy Leonard, who joins us every other week to review movies and to just chat. You know, it's come full circle. I started out my career calling in on his Saturday show and reviewing movies, and now he's returning the favor. And it's sponsored by Oak Park Natural Pet and Fish, and we welcome Roy Leonard to the show. Hello, Roy.
I can't believe I'm still doing this. Hey, before we get to movies and stuff, have we ever had a night where the Hawks and the Bulls and Northwestern were all playing at the same time?
You know, that's a good question.
You know, my channel changer blew a battery. It was unbelievable.
Well, I was very disappointed. You know, the Hawks dominated that whole game, and they had no business losing it. But anyway, hey, thanks for staying up late with us, Roy. I appreciate it.
Look, before we get to the new movies, I think you probably already reviewed it, but I wasn't on with you then, and that's the movie Rush.
Yes.
Ron Howard's film?
Yes.
Did you like that?
No, I was underwhelmed by it.
Oh, geez, I thought I loved it, mainly because it told a human story, and yet we get a lot of great sports action and Formula One racing. There's nothing like it in the world. And then it's a true story. That's what made it even better. And the way he used close-ups, I mean, remember, you could watch the guy's eyelids move, for crying out loud. Mm. I like the movie, but
well,
that's all right.
We're going to have we're trying to get a hold of Pete Pistone to
I'd love to know his opinion
to come on and review the movie for us. Yeah. We're trying to get him on, so
we'll
get his point of view.
New movies. Have you seen James Gandolfini's Enough Said?
I have. We reviewed that one last week. Yeah.
Oh, may I just tell you, it's the sweetest thing to watch. You know, two divorced adults trying to make a new life out of them, out of their lives.
Yeah.
And Gandolfini, it makes it even sadder that he's gone, because he gave such a understated but lovely performance.
I agree with you 100%. This is a really wonderful movie for a lot of the people who complain that I'm always, you know, slamming romantic comedies. I like them when they're good, Roy, and this is a great movie. It's a great movie for adults, about adults, you know what I mean? I just
exactly.
I think it's a great movie, and really, really sad to think about how far Gandolfini could have gone had he lived. You know?
Oh, I know it. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
yeah,
very good. And good. I'm glad you liked it.
I did. I think it's a terrific film. I highly recommend it. It's called Enough Said, and it's a wonderful movie.
That brings us to the most awesome new movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Have you reviewed Gravity yet?
No. Tonight's going to be the... Well, I mean, I've kind of tipped my hat a little bit. I saw it Monday night at IMAX in 3D, and I've pretty much gone on record as saying it's, for my money, it's absolutely the best film I've seen all year.
It is the greatest opening... What is it, like 13 minutes long?
13 and a half minutes without a cut.
But, you know, I can't figure out how he did it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Jon Stewart had Sandra Bullock on the other night on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to know how you did it. I don't care how you did it. As far as I'm concerned, you guys were actually in space.
Yep, they were. and the great thing about it is that it gives us a whole new perspective of the Earth. I mean, I guess I feel the same way. I don't really want to know how he did it.
Yeah.
But that opening sequence, I mean, we see these. In fact, in the theater, I thought something was wrong with the sound. Because
right.
We had a black screen.
Yeah.
See these two figures in the distance, and you hear people talking, but you have no idea what it is. And I was saying, hey, the sound's gone. As these figures come closer to us, we suddenly realize that they're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And they're out in the middle of space.
Yeah.
And Sandra Bullock does a superb job as a doctor who's new to space. You know, she's never been out there before. She's scared to death. And Clooney, of course, plays, you know, the old astronaut. This is his last mission. And yet their vehicle has been desecrated and destroyed by debris in the Earth's atmosphere, and they've got to find a place to get away. The debris is going to come back in 90 minutes. Clooney has this figured out on his watch. Where are they going to go? And where they go and how they get there makes the most suspenseful film. In fact, you know what? I advise people to see this before dinner.
That I think that's great advice, Roy.
I mean, your stomach is in your throat.
Yep.
Through the whole darn thing.
And you know, the weird thing is, Roy, I suffer from a fear of heights, and I'm not real good. I sometimes feel very claustrophobic. So this movie kind of just made me insane.
Oh yeah, it will. But do you think any? Tell me a little bit. I don't know that much about this director.
His name is Alfonso Cuarón. He's Mexican.
Oh,
he has made. I think he is without question one of the most talented filmmakers around. His last movie was this really brilliant film called Children of Men, which was sort of this futuristic science fiction film with Clive Owen, where he also did enormously long single takes.
Yeah.
He also invented cameras like he did for this movie in order to film things differently. He did one of the Harry Potter movies. He did the third one.
Oh.
He did Prisoner of Azkaban. And he also did Y Tu Mama Tambien, which was a pretty big hit back around 12 years ago. He's the goods, Roy. He's the real deal. And I think he's actually single-handedly sort of moving cinema forward. I really do. I think this movie's a game changer.
Yeah, I do too. Gravity. Oh, terrific film.
Yeah.
In the theater world, have we got a few minutes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Please, Roy.
One of the new shows opening in town over at the Royal George just opened a few nights ago, Old Jews Telling Jokes.
I can't wait to see this. First of all, the title just makes me happy.
Well, actually, the cast is unbelievable. I mean, they've got two young, fairly new, they're young Jews, Alex Goodrich and Dara Cameron is her name. But then they've got three great Chicago actors, Tim Kazurinsky, Gene Wygant, and Renee Matthews. They're the old Jews. In fact, Tim Kazurinsky does one of the greatest bits I ever heard. With this wonderful Yiddish accent, he doesn't sing, but he does Old Man River. a song, by the way, that no Jew should ever sing.
That's right.
But anyway, it brings down the house, and it's unbelievable. It's only 80 minutes long, and it's a combination of famous one-liners, a couple that I've never heard before. Did you know that Italians are just Jews who can cook?
I've heard that throughout my life. Yeah, Roy.
And, you know, the rabbi who is visited by a man who says his wife is trying to poison him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do. So the rabbi says, give me a chance to talk to her. I'll get back to you. So the next day, the rabbi calls the guy and says, I had a long, long talk with your wife, 3 hours at least.
Yeah.
So the man says, yes. Yes. So what's your advice? Take the poison. What can I say? Anyway, it's full of stuff like that, and there are some extended bits that are kind of interesting. But I will say, and maybe it's a generational thing, but I have a number of Jewish friends, older Jewish friends, and they don't use the obscenities that are used in this particular show.
Ah.
It's not offensive, because we hear them all the time now in movies and in the theater.
Sure.
I didn't think it fit. Maybe it fit the young Jews, but I didn't fix, you know, I didn't figure to fix the old ones.
You know, Roy, you might be, I would agree with that. That might be a little bit inconsistent historically, but let me tell you this. Let me recommend a movie that's going to be coming to the Film Center, the Gene Siskel Film Center. It's called the years that comedy went to school, and it's all about the Catskills.
And it's got
every comedian that you can possibly imagine that's still alive interviewed, and they've got vintage footage of guys like Alan King and Henny Youngman, and it's very similar to what you're talking about, where they have just like these great bits, and it's Robert Klein is the narrator.
By the way, you mentioned that first comedian you mentioned, King.
Yeah, Alan King.
They use a little. They have a screen. The only scenery in this, in fact, this doesn't have hardly any scenery, but there's a moving screen that goes back and forth in the background, and they show an Alan King bit complaining about wives who complain that their husbands have all died too early.
Survived by his wife. That's the
exactly. Do that. Show that bit.
That's one of my favorite comedy bits of all time.
Well, you'll have it. And it's only 80 minutes long.
Old Jews tell jokes at the Royal George.
Yeah, which is a great theater, by the way. What a lovely theater.
Yeah.
And let's see now. I won't talk to you next week, but the Tom Hanks movie's coming, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Phillips is coming out next week, and we can review that one. And then we'll talk to you 2 weeks from tonight, Roy.
Exactly. And we'll have a lot to talk about.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, there's one legitimate show. What's a legitimate show that's coming to town that I wanted to mention? Oh, shoot, I forgot.
I know that Elf is opening soon, the musical version of Elf.
Oh, yeah, but before the Elf.
Okay.
Nah, I had it written down somewhere, but now I can't find it.
Okay.
It opens next week, and it won the Pulitzer Prize, or the Tony Award, a couple of years ago on Broadway.
Okay.
And it opens. So we'll have that to talk about, as well as a whole bunch of film.
Right. And Roy, and everybody can check out your website, right? RoyLeonard.com.
By the way, it's a little hard to get to, but I am on a new site called Chicago Now.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You go ChicagoNow.com.
And by the way, Roy, we have it linked up on our Facebook page, so people can
just go
to my Facebook page and they can find it right now. It's facebook.com/NickDShow, and it'll link you right up to Roy's website there at ChicagoNow.com.
Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Roy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, Nick.
All right, take care. Roy Leonard, my hero. All righty then. Quick break. We'll come back for Drunks in the News, brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet.
Bourbon, what's that?
Yes, that's right. You know what time it is. It's time when we take the stupid drunk stories of stupid drunk people doing stupid drunk stuff because they're stupid and drunk. We gather them all together and we read them, and it's called Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News. And it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. I ate there last night and had a fantastic meal. And highly recommend it. Tell them Nick sent you. Say hi to George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. We thank them for sponsoring this bit for so many years now. And by the way, if you would like to be a part of Drunks in the News, find the link to a funny drunk story and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. Say, hey, I would like to read this on the air. Craig will get a hold of you, and we'll record it. We'll play it on the air. Not only will you be on the radio reading a drunk story, but you will also get yourself a $50 gift card for the Gale Street Inn. And Jim from Batavia is that lucky listener tonight. All right, here we go. Drunk number one. Drunk number one. Imagine a drunk villager bumping into a wild elephant, thinking it's a tree, and then suddenly being hurled at a distance by the mammoth animal for daring to disturb him in his habitat in a forest. Though it may sound hilarious, this gave the tribal villager the shudders. Linkyu Singh, who is still recovering from his injuries, will never forget this. The incident took place at Muru, and they said the tribal was the only way to his high wooden structure, maze that he had structured. He spends the day in to prevent animals from damaging and stealing crops, and he ran into the elephant late on Thursday. Ahmad said that the tribal member was heavily drunk and took the elephant for a big tree at night. It was sheer luck that the elephant did not trample on him, but just cast him aside and hurt the tribalman. Following that, he got x-rays done, and the majority of the cases of this man's conflict with wildlife, especially the elephant, is the fault of the man and not the animal. And he was drunk.
The landlady said, you got the rent money yet?
All right, let's do drunk number two. Drunk number two. Drunk number two is Jim from Batavia. Here's Jim from Batavia.
This is Jim from Batavia for Drunks in the News. When a 61-year-old Texas man came into an emergency room claiming he was dizzy and was found to have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.37%, doctors assumed he was drunk. Despite the fact the man claimed he hadn't consumed alcohol that day, most doctors still thought he was a closet drinker. But it turned out that those medical professionals were wrong. The man had, quote, auto-brewery syndrome, unquote. His stomach contained so much yeast that he was making his own in-house brew. The patient's wife, who was a nurse, was so concerned with her husband's constantly drunk condition that she had him regularly tested with a breathalyzer. He would record numerous high numbers like 0.33 or 0.4%, considerably higher than the U.S. legal driving limit of 0.08%. He would get drunk out of the blue on a Sunday morning after being at church, or really just any time, said his wife. The doctors then realized that he must have been infected with high levels of Saccharomyces cerevisiae, a kind of yeast that is used in alcohol fermentation and baking. They suspected that because the patient had been put on antibiotics following a surgery for a broken foot in 2004, that the medications might have killed all his gut bacteria. But this allowed the yeast to thrive in his body. Interviews revealed the man ate a lot of carbs, and that meant that each time the patient ate something with starch, the high amounts of yeast in his body turned into sugars, which then turned into ethanol and ethyl alcohol, which made him drunk from the inside. To cure his illness, the patient was placed on low-carb diets and prescribed antifungal medication to get rid of the excess yeast. His case study was recently published in the International Journal of Clinical Medicine this summer. Only a handful of cases of this have been reported in the last three decades, including a 13-year-old girl with short gut syndrome who would get drunk if she ate carbs, and another 3-year-old with the same condition became drunk when she had a fruit drink high in carbohydrates. This is a rare syndrome, but should be recognized because of the social implications such as job loss, relationship difficulties, stigma, and even possible arrest and incarceration, the author notes. It would behoove healthcare providers to listen more carefully to intoxicated patients who deny ingesting alcohol. Again, this is Jim from Batavia for Drunks in the News, and back to you, Nick.
All right. We got a vote. We've only got two to vote on. I wish that was a little bit longer.
I'll go with number two.
Yeah, number two. Craig, what about you?
He's brewing alcohol in his stomach.
Yeah, you've got to do that. Guy mistakes an elephant for a tree, but at least, you know, he actually had to drink to get drunk. All right, well, that's the deal. That's how it works, and it'll be the same bat time, same bat channel next week for Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News! Brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Go to the Gale Street Inn and have a guaranteed fantastic dinner. We thank them. We shall return. The news is coming up next. It is time for the movie reviews, the Saturday night movie reviews. They used to be the midnight movie reviews on Fridays, but now we're not on Fridays, so we've moved it to Saturday. Colin Suter and Eric Childress from eFilmCritic.com join me every week, and it's obviously a shortened week this week, so we're only going to be able to review one movie basically at length, and then we'll talk about some of the other things that are out, but not as detailed as we usually get. When we get more time, we'll obviously get the segment back up to its regular length. Late start tonight because of the Hawks. Let's welcome Colin. Hi, Colin.
Hello there.
And Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
All righty then. So what was the Eric, we had I don't have the list in front of me, but we had some on-demand stuff that was out there. Is there anything that's worth seeing if you could just like name one of them?
There's one film called The Dirties, a film that actually played our Chicago Critics Film Festival earlier this year, and it's a terrific high school teenage found footage film that really has something very interesting to say about school violence.
Okay, cool. All right, that's called The Dirties, and that's available on demand as we speak. And there was a big list of on-demand movies that we can maybe brush up on next week if we need to.
Yeah.
A couple of the other theatrical films that came out this week is the Kennedy film, the Kennedy assassination film came out.
Parkland
came out this week. Has anybody seen that?
I have not.
Neither have I. So none of us have seen that.
But it'll be on DVD on November 5th.
Oh,
so there you go.
Well, that should say something about it.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looked, and the reviews have been, you know, mediocre at best. And if you got a movie that's coming out in 2 weeks or something, you know, 3 weeks on DVD, that's not a good sign.
No.
So, all right. So that's Parkland. And the other one I believe all three of us have seen, and that's Runner Runner. Colin, did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Why don't you, Colin, really quickly, why don't you tell us about the plot for Runner Runner with my boy JT and Ben Affleck?
Justin Timberlake's a college student. He's got some debts to pay, and he's into the online gambling thing, and he makes a mistake, or he gets swindled out of $17,000 or something like that. And he tracks down Ben Affleck, who runs this site from South America somewhere, Costa Rica, right? And he gets hired by Ben Affleck to be just one of his guys who helps him out, laundering money, I guess, or, you know, doing all sorts of nefarious things. And the FBI catch up to Timberlake and kind of use him to go underground and to get Affleck and to nab him. And you've seen this movie a dozen times before. It goes nowhere you don't expect it to go. It's 90 minutes of just, you know, the most derivative script you've ever seen in your life, wasting two good actors in the process. It's a real waste of time.
Okay. Eric, what about you? What'd you think?
Yeah, it's not even as interesting as Colin just described it. It's basically paranoia with poker references. There's nothing that you haven't seen before. The best thing about the movie is Ben Affleck, actually. He's the only one that seems to, you know, have any interest in this material at all. And it's just like, there are like eight different screenplays that could have been written about this material that are inherent in the movie. And when you see them, see it sort of done through montages, it's a terrible film.
It is really bad. It's really bad. And yeah, Affleck at least adds a little energy to it. He seems to be having a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did he sign on to do this before Argo?
I think so.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like his boy Damon did a movie with Levin and Koppelman who wrote Rounders.
Yeah, right.
So, and he's into the online, the poker thing.
Which, by the way, Rounders is so much better than this movie.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Malkovich is ridiculous in Rounders, but I actually enjoy that movie.
I do too.
Much better screenplay than this. And it is too bad because I really, you know, like Affleck is good and he's having fun in it, but it's a dumb movie and you know, his character is typical and, you know, really predictable and ridiculous. But I'm always rooting for the JT.
He needs to do comedies though.
Yeah.
He doesn't, the drama thing, not his thing.
Well,
he was
good
in Social Network.
Social Network, he was great in that.
He's good in that. I don't know. It's like Affleck's character moved from Boiler Room to Runner Runner.
That's exactly right, man. It's the same dude. It is the same dude. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and then we come back. We're going to talk about, I don't know, the best damn movie of the year. Hang on a second. This is Eric and Colin, and when we come back, we will talk about Gravity. If you've seen it or you want to jump in with a question or a comment about Gravity, we are going to talk about it when we get back. 312-981-7200. It's the Movie Reviews with Colin and Eric and Nick right here on WGN. It is the Midnight Movie Reviews right here on WGN. We want to get to them real quick. We want to talk about Gravity. Here is Colin and Eric. Welcome back. All right. Eric, briefly just give us a quick description about Gravity and let's dive into it.
Okay. Well, there's a shuttle crew hovering, orbiting Earth, led by George Clooney, on his last shuttle mission. Sandra Bullock is a technician. She is repairing a part in the Hubble telescope. And soon a missile strike has struck down a satellite and has caused a whole bunch of debris that is headed their way. And once the debris reaches the shuttle, well, all hell breaks loose and leaves Clooney and Sandra Bullock's character basically hovering through space trying to survive. That's right. All you want to know.
That's it. All right. Okay, go, Eric.
What can we possibly say that hasn't been said already? Let's try to come up with some more superlatives and adjectives and hyperbole. This is one of the few films that's come out this year, and you know, in many years actually, that actually earns all the ridiculous hyperbole.
Absolutely.
That we tend to throw around willy nilly on films that clearly don't deserve it sometimes.
Right.
It's one of these movies that I think you mentioned the word reinvent. In a way, you know, the last time we probably had that, some people would say was Avatar. Except this is a film that, in its simplicity, does so much more than a lot of movies try to do with all of their complexities. The special effects are second to none. They're incredible. But this is a film that, while getting you high on movies again through the technological aspects, there is definitely an emotional undercurrent in rooting for these characters to survive. Sandra Bullock definitely gives the performance of her career.
It's absolutely the best performance she's ever given and possibly ever will give. She's phenomenal in this movie. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she really is. This is her movie. This really comes down to her movie.
Absolutely.
Clooney, has many, several scenes in the movie, but is sort of like the calming voice in her head in many ways, and it's sort of perfect casting in a way. Who else, I would love to have Clooney in my head 24/7. I think it would be great. I'm going to turn it over, and we can just spin this around.
Next? Colin, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I go to movies. This is a movie that reminds me of why I love movies. It does things that few movies can, not just, giving you eye-popping, dazzling special effects, but, really moved your heart and your soul. And, with all the technical wizardry and all the amazing, 15-minute single-take shots, and it's the thing I look forward to the most, is a scene just with Bullock just acting her heart out about halfway through the film, going through a wide range of emotions in one single shot, and it's breathtaking. And I've seen the movie 4 times, and usually when you see a movie multiple times, especially like within the span of a month, it loses a little bit in each viewing. You still love it, but it loses a little something that made that first viewing special. That has not happened yet.
Yeah,
I still have the same feeling walking out of the theater the 4th time seeing it, which was today, as I did the first time I saw it, which was back in early September. This is the one you rush out to go see. I can't believe a few people are still hesitant to go see it.
I don't understand.
Like, they still need convincing. Like, are you kidding me? Get out to the theater and see this thing.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. Yeah, cool. I've seen it twice myself in a week. I've seen it twice since Monday. I was sitting next to you, Colin, at the IMAX at Navy Pier during this, your third viewing and my first. And when it was over, I just didn't even know. I said to you, I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to say after seeing this movie. It is a game changer. There's no question about it. Alfonso Cuarón is one of the best filmmakers alive right now, and he's proven it with so many great films, but he's really knocked it, way out of the park with this one. It's technologically advanced. It's stunning to watch. The way to see it, and I don't normally recommend movies in 3D, you guys know that, but the way to see this movie is in 3D, no question about it, preferably IMAX. If you can't see it in IMAX, make sure you go to a nice big theater and see it in 3D. It is an astounding experience. It's breathtaking in its beauty. It's terrifying at times, like downright terrifying. And the acting is incredible, and Sandra Bullock's character is really somebody that you indeed root for and you really grow to love during the course of this, during the course of the, of what's happening in the movie. And you know, this is seriously, it's absolutely the best film I've seen all year. And you know, it's there have been some great movies that were released this year. You know, we got the Sarah Polley movie, we got the Richard Linklater movie, and we got the Jeff Nichols movie. And all three of those would be best picture contenders any year, but this is better. This is and exactly what you said, Colin. This is absolutely, Gravity is absolutely the reason I go to movies. I can't even explain what kind of an experience it is to watch this movie. We've got somebody on the line here. If you saw Gravity and you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Woody, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, ironically, just left the theater. I live in northern Idaho. Was checking on the Hawk score, and you guys said Gravity. I was like, wow, ironic. I just left it.
Yeah.
Hey, I agree with you. I agree with you on a lot, but I'm going to disagree with you about Best Picture. Technologically, fantastic. 3D, absolutely. Sandra Bullock's performance, best ever. You're absolutely right. I'll tell you where I disagree, and this is maybe my wife's got a problem with me with this because I lack that, you know, suspended disbelief of some movies. And I just didn't think the, outside of Sandra Bullock's part, I saw a lot of parts of the movie that weren't really that well written and just not believable in their writing. And let me give you two quick examples. Very start of the movie, when they're talking back and forth to Houston, I mean, maybe I'm a nerd, but when you talk from Earth to space, you cannot have a bantering conversation back and forth because there's a delay of signal going back and forth. Second point, I know that's a small one. Second point, when George Clooney's trying to calm her down and they start talking about all the personal stuff, the fact is, I mean, when you're an astronaut, you train with your crew for possibly decades. If you don't know the personal history of the people you're serving with, there's something, you know, incredibly wrong. So I'm sorry. I just didn't think it was that well written. I thought it was beautiful. The cinematography was beautiful. The 3D with that water droplet where they changed the aperture was just so unique in 3D, and it was great. I loved it, but I didn't think it was that well written.
Okay. All right, Woody. I don't agree with you, but that's okay. Yeah. That's what makes the world go around. All right, Woody, thanks for the call.
Okay, no problem.
Take care. You know, and I've been reading articles already about people punching holes in the logic of this movie, and I don't care, quite frankly.
They can suck it.
I don't care. honest to God, I don't care, yeah. If it's – I don't care if there are logical problems. I don't care if it's scientifically sound. I don't care. I don't care. I can't explain to you the effect that this film has had on me twice. You know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, you get past, I mean, yeah, I mean, if that's going to hold you up from, you know, saying something is a masterpiece, then that's, you know, for one, Sandra Bullock's character only trained for 6 months.
She's okay. New. Yeah, she was new.
She was a new person.
They make a point of that right at the beginning of the film.
The whole point, the whole arc of her character is the fact that she's never been in space before.
That's right.
And, you know, this is, you know, one person on their last mission, one person on their first mission. You know, so I'm not worried that she doesn't know the details. I mean, she's from Lake Zurich, for God's sake.
Yeah, and there's a lot. By the way, there's a lot of great references to Lake Zurich in this movie. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure the people who live in Lake Zurich are probably. You know, it would be so much fun to see this movie in a theater in Lake Zurich, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be just a blast? I mean, I bet. Well, people, when we saw it, Colin, people cheered when they mentioned Lake Zurich.
Yeah.
So I think we had some people in the audience who were from Lake Zurich.
Especially at 8 o'clock, which is when George Clooney asked, what are people in Lake Zurich doing at 8 o'clock on a Friday night?
Yeah, well, that would be the time to see it, man. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, this is Chuck on WGN. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
This guy's dead wrong on a couple of plot points. First of all, like you just said, she was a mission specialist, which means she trains for 6 months, not for years with these guys. And second of all, at 350 miles up, there is no discernible delay in the radio. He's thinking from the Earth to the Moon, where it's a 1.5-second delay to go 250,000 miles.
Yeah, they're about 375 miles above Earth.
There were some scientific points that I'm kind of a geek about this stuff, and I know just wouldn't
really
work. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This movie, I'm not with you guys that it's the best picture of the year. I'm still kind of in the world's end. The world's end mode.
Okay.
But you know, I got it. It where it was off for me was it was a great action film. Visually, it was fantastic. It just didn't feel. And Sandra Bullock's perfect in this. the story just wasn't compelling enough for me. You know, there was really no plot. It's really just, how does somebody survive for 90 minutes and literally how do you get home? But I don't know. I enjoyed it. My wife didn't like it as much as I did, mm-hmm. although we both thought it was visually spectacular. I guess from hearing all the critics and looking at Metacritic and stuff like that, this thing's going to be a runaway Oscar nominee, et cetera. I didn't see it, but that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. I guess it's just a matter of degree.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree with you. Go see it in IMAX 3D. We saw it in Mount Prospect on a standard definition screen. It's an amazing technological achievement. I just wasn't with you guys on the story
as
much.
Okay. All right, Chuck. Fair enough. Thanks.
Take care.
I don't know. I was deeply moved by it. I'm sorry. And the arc that Sandra Bullock's character goes through, what this movie really is about, there's death, there's rebirth, there's birth. All that stuff is in there. This is a rich, rich, deep movie.
I would love to take Chuck with me to a film festival, my next film festival, and show him what a movie without plot actually is. I can show him many examples.
Yeah. Now, Colin, you've seen it four times. What are you getting out of it more each time? I've seen it twice, and I'm planning on seeing it again.
I think it's not that I get more out of it each time. It's that I get, whenever I see it, I mean, the first time I saw it, I'm watching Caron's direction. I'm watching these single take shots and everything. Or the first, opening shot is like 13, 15, whatever,
right.
however many
right.
long it is.
Right.
And then I just stopped looking for those long shots because I was so drawn into the story and into the action and the emotions. And then the more I see it, the more I start to pay a little more attention to these long shots. And I'm amazed at what he's doing with that camera. That I never noticed before. I was like, oh, geez, this sequence is a single take shot, too. I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Mostly just technical stuff like that is what I get more out of every time I see it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, there's a spirituality to this movie.
Absolutely. All of his films have that. All of his movies have a really deep connection to spirit. And I was moved by it. I cried during it. I really cared about the characters. I thought the arc was good, and I think it's a very significant piece of work. I don't think it's plotless. I think there's a lot going on in this movie, in addition to it being a spectacular action and adventure movie. I don't even know what to say. We're running out of time, but obviously all three of us love it. I've seen it twice. Eric, you've seen it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Colin, four times. It's my favorite film of the year so far, and I don't know if anything's going to top it. That's just
mine too.
Yeah. So, all right, you guys, thanks a lot. We got another short show next week, but we'll talk to you then. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
See you guys later. There you go. There's Colin. There's Eric, and that was Gravity, the best film of the year.